Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back in another week where we're going to spend time in God's Word together, spend time opening up God's Word, hearing what does God have to say to us and what are we doing about it? Where is Jesus in what we're reading? What is the Holy Spirit revealing to us? And then how is this leading us into deeper obedience in our relationship with the Lord? And we're a couple weeks in here to 2026, so I hope you're having a great 2026 so far. I think I said this before on the show, but 2026 seems like one of those fictional years. Like, we said that last night to some high school girls, and they were like, what do you mean? Because obviously they are born in like 2012, you know, so they were not understanding it as much. But for those of us who are a little older, 2026 seems like one of those futuristic years that was never going to happen. You know, it was like, oh, like 2035 or whatever. Now 2035 seems like it's totally within reach, which is kind of crazy. But anyway, that's total side note. But I hope you're having a great 2026 so far. And as I've been just reflecting, you know, I'm not one for like very specific goals, because I'm kind of already like anything that I have goals for at this point in my life, I should already be consistently working towards. But to have just these ways that I'm growing with the Lord, these ways that I'm getting better, these ways that I'm growing in a relationship. And as I've been thinking and reflecting over these last couple of weeks, the Lord has really been encouraging me to read scripture even more than I already do, you know, to take what I was already doing in 2025 and to just continue more and more to open God's word, to have God's word with me in times of downtime, to open God's word, to read the scriptures, and to really continue to do that more and more and begin to do it at times when I wasn't doing it. You know, I had my prayer time, I had my Bible reading time, but the Lord is just saying, increase time in my word. So maybe that's a conviction that you're having. Maybe that's something the Lord is calling you to do. I don't think there's ever a thing as too much reading of scripture. I don't think any of us are at risk of spending 24/7 reading God's word. And so don't be worried about reading too much scripture, about having too much scripture in your diet. And maybe just look at, Lord, how have I been engaging with your word? And what is one way I can just do a little bit more? What is one way I can just do it a little bit more intensely? What is one way I can just feed on your word a little bit more than I already do? And so as we go through this week, we're not going to be in the letters of St. Paul. We're actually going to be in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to spend some time with Jesus. And one of the things that I've been praying out a number of just very simple questions in this new year. And as I've been sitting with the Lord and trying to pray more and trying to have him deepen the intimacy in my heart and just being before him and being silent, I've been asking the question over and over again, Lord, what does it really mean to seek you? What does it mean to seek God? What does it mean to look for him? What does it mean to go after him? And we already know that the Lord has first loved us, that he's come to get us. So it's not like we're trying to find him in that particular way. He's not hiding. But this idea of being someone who seeks the Lord. And really, what does it mean to be a seeker of God? What does it mean to seek him, to be one who's after God's heart? And it sounds like such a simple question, because you're like, obviously pray, obviously do the sacraments, obviously, yes, yes, yes. But to have a posture in my heart, I'm not just seeking the things of God, but seeking God. And I've been kind of obsessed and convicted about this idea of, Jesus, I want to encounter you. I want to be, and of course I have encountered the Lord. So you're like, what are you talking about? But this thing of like, I want to supernaturally come into your presence every day. I don't want to constantly be having my own agenda and my own thoughts and ways that I want to seek you and ways that I want to find you. I don't know if you've ever had this thing spring up in your heart of more and more being like, I want to be more purified. I want to be more authentic. I want to do this thing in the way that you want to do it. That actually, I want to seek you. I don't want to seek the things you give me. I don't want to seek even your plan for my life. I want to seek you and keep getting to know, who are you? What are you like? How did you act when you were on the earth? All of these different things. And so I've been going through the Gospel of Luke, kind of building on the Christmas narratives, building on the nativity narratives. I've been going through the Gospel of Luke, and I want to read a little bit and see what we get through in the Gospel of Luke here, starting in Luke chapter 4. Jesus. What was Jesus doing when he was on the earth? What was he like? What were his priorities? What was the expression of his personality? Because more and more, I want to get to know him. Because he's endless. He's boundless. As much as we know him, even if we know him so, so well, there's so much more about him that I want to know. And I want to be a seeker of him. Not just things about him, not just the church. And all of those things are part of him. But seeking him to be one who knows God, who knows Jesus. So let's pray. And then we're going to read a little bit in Luke chapter 4. So if you join me in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Or Jesus, we want to know you. Wherever we're coming from today, we want to know you more and more and more. And we want to come into deeper relationship with you. And we want to know you, not just to know about you, not to know things about you, but who are you truly? We want to seek you with purity, with intensity, and with truth. So Lord Jesus, I pray that today you would allow any scales to fall from our eyes and that you would open up our hearts to see you as you truly are. And we ask all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to read a little bit of Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read 4:14, probably right now through verse 19. And then later we're going to pick up in verse 20 because it's really important. And we're going to kind of finish out that section. But today we're going to start with Luke 4. 14 through 19. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue as his custom was on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. And there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and to recover the sight to the blind and to set liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." There's a couple other translations where it says to proclaim the year of favor and to say to give freedom to those who are oppressed, which I like that wording as well. We're going to continue on over the next couple of days in the next handful of verses, but I want to start here with verse 13. And we're beginning kind of in the middle of something. And Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee. So where have we been thus far? Luke begins with, you know, the story before Jesus's birth. Luke, we have at the beginning of Luke, we have the Annunciation. We have the announcement of John the Baptist's birth. We have Jesus's birth. And then we have the heralding of John the Baptist, where he's, you know, he's like, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he's proclaiming the one who will come. He's saying, one who comes after me is the Messiah. And they're following John the Baptist. And they ask John the Baptist, could you be the one that we've been waiting for? So this is all happening in Luke, and then Jesus comes and he's like, no, behold the Lamb of God. And so he says, behold the Lamb of God, and there's whisperings about Jesus. There's so much happening. It says the report is beginning to grow. And before this, what does Jesus do in Luke chapter 4? He goes into the desert. And so what we see so far in Luke is Jesus' birth. Jesus grows up. He lives as a carpenter. And then the time comes to begin his public ministry. John proclaims him, behold the Lamb of God. This is the Messiah. And Jesus goes off into the desert to be tempted. And he goes off for 40 days alone. And the evil one, the devil, is tempting him to power. He's tempting him to question his identity. He's tempting him to take matters into his own hands. And Jesus stays submitted to the Father. And this is where we see this first verse, 14, that we read. And Jesus returned. Where is he coming from? He's coming from the desert where he was tested, where he was tried, where he was purified. And I think this is so important. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. That Jesus is fully God, he's fully man, and he, as the scriptures tell us, is the anointed one. Behold the Lamb of God. He goes off into the wilderness to be tested, and in that time he's walking in his anointing. And he's tested, right? Because he is human. He's fully God. So he didn't sin, but he was tempted to sin. And so there's something that the scripture is showing us about testing, of what testing produces, that Jesus, before he's public, before he returns in the anointing of the Messiah, he returns in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. He comes out from the desert, having been tested, and he remains obedient to the Father. And because he remains obedient to the Father, he now enters into his public ministry in the power of the Spirit. Friends, some of us, I know in my life, there's seasons that I'm in. There's seasons of suffering. There's seasons where my circumstances aren't set up the way that I want to. There's seasons of testing. And in those times, I'm usually like complaining that, God, this isn't going as planned. This is plan B. This is not the circumstance you had set up for me. But the reality is many of us are missing that our circumstances of purification are leading us into walking in the Spirit. That suffering and testing and trial produces in us, what Paul says is it produces in us an eternal weight of glory. And for some of you, the thing that you're walking through, you're just trying to get out of the circumstances. You're just trying to say, no, this isn't the job that I want, or that's not, I don't have my husband yet, or this is not the ideal circumstances. And I heard this was so good. I heard it in a talk recently. The preacher, she was saying, look, we're always thinking about there. We're always thinking about when I get there, when I'm out of these circumstances, there is going to be the place where God produces something in me. There is going to be the place where I'm getting to where God wants me. And she's saying the reality for each and every one of us is there is no there. We're only here. When Jesus was in the desert, all he had was being in the desert. He didn't have yet his public ministry. And so God in the here, in the now, not in the future, not in the past, here and the now is producing something. He will use whatever it takes to produce something in your life so that you can walk in the power of the Spirit. And so how are you yielding to that? But I love this. Jesus, we see Jesus was anointed. What do we know? What are we seeing about him? What do we know about him? He was anointed in the power of the Spirit. He was tested. He goes back into Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And I love this line, a report about him, the report concerning him went out through all the surrounding countries. Sometimes I think we imagine Jesus just kind of like walking around and a couple people are like trailing behind him. And it's like kind of dusty always where he's walking. And he's just kind of walking around with his sandals on. And he's like, what's up, guys? Like, you want some miracles to happen? No, Jesus goes into the desert. He comes out and everybody is talking about him. Everybody in Galilee, everybody in Nazareth, everybody in the surrounding areas, they're saying, who is this man? The report of him was growing. And so a couple of things to take when we're seeking God, we're seeking Jesus. What we're taking today is Jesus was tested in the desert and he lived. He came out in the anointing and the power of the Spirit. And that there was fame. There was word about him. So tomorrow, join us as we talk about what was this word about him that was spreading. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.